Okay, Hebrews chapter 5. Let's continue on here in Hebrews chapter 5. We're starting around verse 7. Okay, whereas the Apostle Paul, in expounding these things, is bringing to our attention, okay, in regarding the promise which is given to Abraham and the priesthood, the perpetual priesthood, okay, which came through Melchizedek and was given to Christ. Okay, Melchizedek being a type and shadow of that priesthood, and Abraham being a type and shadow is concerning the inheritance, whereas kings and priests, okay, would proceed from his loins. And that tradition of kings and priests proceeding from him would be perpetual in the holy ones. Okay, being perpetual in the holy ones, which would be fulfilled in part during the ninth week, being the millennial reign of Christ on earth for 1,000 years, and also the time of the third covenant as we enter back into the bosom of our Father to begin increasing his house. Okay, as we continually and perpetually build by the Spirit. Now, this is what we're doing right now, okay, with the tools of the covenant. We are building the house of God now. Okay, so we are gaining the necessary employable skills to enter into God's house, to enter into full-time employment with the spiritual things. Okay, so we are as under tutors right now, that the angels, okay, are perfecting our understanding and providing the grace of God, okay, and also God is providing the knowledge through the stewardship in order for us to put these things in mind and to keep these things in mind, okay, and to stir up ourselves in the holy faith. Okay, so in verse 7, okay, who in the days of his flesh, okay, now both Melchizedek and Jesus, okay, experienced this. Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, but we can see the effects of death on the God code. That is, the God code that's joined to the flesh. Okay, the God code that's joined to the flesh suffers loss. But Jesus, being eternal, was now going to suffer this kind of breach, okay, or an engagement. Okay, an engagement of this breach as he was going to the cross. There was going to be a remission, okay, or not a remission particularly, but maybe an intermission, okay, in regarding this. So in the days of his flesh, before providing for us again and sealing this record for us, okay, he was also providing himself as that door, okay, that there would be no intermission, okay, as concerning this transition from flesh to flame and from flame to flesh. Now, he was going to provide this for us. In verse 7 now, we're in Hebrews 5:7. All right, so who in the days of his flesh, okay, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared. So you highlight the word there, the word prayers in verse 7. Okay, now prayers, okay, prayers are the blueprint for the foundation to be laid. Okay, so it'd be like laying out a plan in regarding how to put laying tracks for a train. Your prayers is a spiritual blueprint. This spiritual blueprint gives the direction for those which would construct, okay, on the blueprint. The Holy Ghost is that blueprint, which everything in existence is following. Okay, Jesus being the oath of the Lord is the blueprint of all his creation. Now your prayers, this is what Jesus was teaching his apostles, okay, and also the Apostle Paul and all the apostles taught in regarding a strong prayer life, because your prayers are manifesting the knowledge of that blueprint for which the tracks are laid, because the flesh follows the spirit, as the children of Israel followed the cloud, okay, the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Moses gave them the knowledge, Moses being the oath of the Lord and the voice of the Lord down here, okay, within this dimension, being the hub of this community, a new community of a new generation, of a new people, was giving them the knowledge for them, okay, in order for them to enter into the promised land. Okay, so we know that the knowledge, though, is connected and joined to the covenant. Okay, without the knowledge of the covenant, we would be as wandering sinners. Okay, wandering sinners. Now, the children of Israel had to be purged. Okay, and they wandered in the wilderness till they learned this. Okay, as concerning respecting the stewardship, okay, and following that pattern of the priesthood, okay, and having faith within that pattern of the priesthood. Now who in the days of his flesh, both Melchizedek and Christ, when he had offered up prayers, so make sure you highlight the word prayers there in verse 7, and supplication, prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears. Okay, now the strong crying and tears has to do with that breach, the breach that would be present. Okay, so that the God code would fall into a position of intermission. Okay, God is eternal. Never at any time during the existence of his existence, did a breach occur with the God code or what he is. But at this point of time, a breach was going to be present. Whereas death being present would create a breach from the continuation of the flesh. But Jesus rose from the dead to teach us that he can bridge the breach. The knowledge of God, which we have received, bridges that breach of death now. Okay, and regarding that, the knowledge which we're using right now, that which is being laid on the altar of our heart, is perpetual, is a perpetual tool and a necessary tool that will be resourced in the third covenant. That's why it's important that the church understands these things so that they will not be found naked on that day. Being found naked is like arriving at work with no tools. If you're a builder, all right, and you're building a house and you arrive at work with no nails, no hammer, no saw, no wood, people will look at you rather strangely saying, you're a builder, but where are your tools? Where's the wood? Okay. Well, the Lord is giving these tools to you right now, the speaking in tongues. Okay, and regarding all these things, all these tools, the things of the tool chest, the treasure chest of the Lord is full of tools, just like finding an old chest in your attic. Within it, you open it up, and there's a lot of things in there, which are symbolic of certain events that took place, a memorial, standing memorial, or a sign of one's existence. Well, you have the sign of his existence within you as you continually resource this trunk or treasure chest, a chest full of treasures, of tools for your priesthood, that you will not be found naked. Now, those that don't resource these things will be found naked on that day and will not be competent to continue on with the true tradition of God. And being found incompetent, they're naked. They don't have on the proper robing. And now Jesus gave that example in one of his parables, whereas he said, how is it that you're here but you're not properly robed? All right? Why is it that you don't have a garment on? Without a garment, you are affronting my conditions. My conditions of participation is being affronted by your indifference or your forgetfulness. And doing this is a transgression. So bind them hand and foot and throw them out the door. And that's what God is going to do in a day of judgment. And regarding the time of reward, those which should be found naked cannot stand before the presence of God. Anyone that comes in the presence of a king without a gift is considered as a transgressor, as a spy. And now remember, when the children of Israel came before the presence of Joseph, when Joseph was already established as the governor of Egypt, and they came before him, they had nothing to offer him at first but excuses. And he, inquiring of them, said, bring your youngest brother, the one that you spoke of, bring the youngest brother, and by this you shall be tested. I will weigh your words upon your compliance to the gift. God also weighs the motives of the heart upon our compliance. Are you going to go into the presence of the Lord naked, or are you going to go into the presence of the Lord with a gift? Jesus is our advocate only if we keep his commandments and stand in the courts of the Lord with a gift, that is a heart full of praise, that we must reciprocate to him that very virtue that he set within us, the treasure which he set within us, the memorial of his eternal being. That's what you're resourcing, that's what you're reciprocating with, and by that you are saved. You'll be saved from the wrath of God, presently and in that which is also to come. We'll go on here now in verse 7. So, unto him that is able to save him from death. Now, to save him from death also means this. So, highlight the word save him from death there in verse 7. And to reverse the curse, which was upon Adam and also the God code of the flesh. To reverse it. Now, Jesus did that. It was God that put the curse on Adam, and it's God that reversed the curse. But he reversed it himself. He reversed it by his own presence. He had to do this for the purpose of also emptying the caverns of hell of those which were not yet perfect, because the perfect one had not yet arrived. See, so the righteous awaited within the caverns of hell for the time of their release, as the psalmist brings out, where he says, "Open up, you gates, yea, and let the King of Glory in." And the gates of hell opened up, and the King of Glory came in, and redeemed those which believed on him, those which were of faith. So here he says to save him from death and to reverse that curse. And Jesus is reversing the curse within us. So that even upon our passing from this dimension to the next dimension, we carry on that tradition, and his craftsmanship remains within us. So, and seeing that his craftsmanship remains within us, we become as skillful workers in the kingdom of God. To save him from death, and was heard that he feared. And the fear is concerning not having that rest. Okay, not having that rest. We labor to enter into that rest. But if there's an intermission within labor, then also our rest is withheld from us. So there's no intermission in labor with the work of the Spirit. So the links of the chain are never broken. The bone is not broken, and the links of the chain are not broken. In your cycles of growth, you continue on steadfast. Okay, it's like if there's a breaking of the seasons, then we know there's a season of growth, and there's a season also of decay. That is where the leaves fall. Again, God is preaching to us in regarding these cycles. But yet, that which is put within the ground prepares itself for the spring. See, so even though with the eye there's an intermission, okay, yet according to the spirit world, what God is doing, okay, is continuing on that tradition for increase, the seed turning into a tree and the tree being fruitful, which we are the trees of righteousness, that we are being fruitful within all seasons, that the God code continues unabated within us and increases the house of God as you function within your priesthood. See, now look at verse 8 now. Though he were a son, which has to do is though he was born, okay, he was born into a body of the flesh, being in the born of the body of flesh was yet restricted. And showing this, he had to be long-suffering. He had to be long-suffering in faith, okay, with faith, okay, within those restrictions which he placed upon himself. Now we can see this, how Jesus fulfilled these things in providing a record, whereas the record he would provide for our faith would be what possessed no intermission. There'd be no breaking within this record. So though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Okay, and this is what we're doing right now. And we'll be talking about that near the end of this chapter. Obedience and keeping of his commandments. Now the word commandment has to do with that we are showing respect to God by obeying those things that are required of us. Okay, it's an activity. So we keep his commandments by following a certain pattern of activity. They keep my commandments. See that if you love me, keep my commandments. So a commandment is an ordered activity. Okay, and by this ordered activity, God reveals himself to us, and also by this form of activity, grace is being multiplied. God continually issues these powers, okay, for the purpose of your increase. The more you sow, the more you grow. If you use the seed which he gives you, our Father in heaven will provide more seed for you, just like Jesus spoke of in regarding the talents. Okay, the man that had 5, 3, and the man that had 1. It was those individuals which increased the talent which they received that they also increased with more. The Lord says, take from him that has not increased my house. All right, so take that talent from him and give it to him, okay, that is increasing my house. The one that's increasing my house is the one that's keeping my commandments. So though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So highlight the word suffered there in verse 8. So verse 8, the word suffered again has to do with that the son was yoked within this restriction. Okay, the son being yoked with restriction, that is restriction of the form of flesh. Okay, the flesh is like the shell of an egg. The shell of the egg is very restrictive to that which is being formed within it. Now the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, okay, is at this present time, you can say, maturing, okay, the image of God within your heart, okay, within restrictions, within these restrictions, as in the eggshell. At the time appointed, the shell which we are in will be no longer valid for this time of preparation and consecration. we will spill out of this egg, of this eggshell, or we will be released from this eggshell to enter into a fullness, that is, into the full environment of God, okay, which is without end and unfathomable. The full environment of Him is like pouring a cup of water into the ocean. When we came into this dimension, a portion of that ocean, like a cup of the ocean, was put within us, okay, and we became a living soul. Upon our release, that which God put within us is received back to Himself, and therefore is poured back into the ocean. When that cup is poured within the ocean, okay, it is a very part of that consistency now, and we will be poured back into the bosom of our Father, okay, without any kind of restriction. Right now, the Holy Ghost, okay, is under the restrictions of regeneration, but then that restriction being released from us, and the imagination being joined to faith, there is nothing that will be withheld from you. So though He were a son, being born into a body of flesh, was also put with great restrictions, and was long-suffering with faith in the restrictions of this body. Okay, He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And now, highlight the word things there in verse 8, because we're talking about the things which He suffered have to do with the presence of death. Right? He was yoked with the flesh, and being yoked with the flesh, the God code was restricted with this. And we can see the God code would also frustrate the flesh because of the contrast. It'd be also the presence of death brought contrast, conflict, contrariness, controversy, and contradiction. Okay? We receive and experience contradiction in this flesh right now, but God is teaching us to be patient in long-suffering with faith, as He is also patient and long-suffering with faith as concerning His work within us. Okay, that God, being long-suffering with us, is awaiting the time of the birth of the sons of God, that we will come into the fullness in His bosom. Okay, so in being made perfect, now the word perfection, or word perfect right there, has to do with a certain level of, okay, of containing all, see, like all the ingredients are there. Okay, in being made perfect, all the ingredients were present, okay, for the expected outcome and product. Okay, just like the parts of a vehicle, okay, all the parts of the vehicle have to be present in order for that vehicle, okay, to be useful. Okay, well, all the parts of God's kingdom are in His fullness, and we eat and partake of His fullness every day. So, in being made perfect, how are we perfect? In the record which Jesus provided for us, okay, beginning from His baptism unto His ascension, must one bear witness to this, and that's what we're doing. Okay, we bear witness to the living record of God by remaining within these restrictions of the covenant, okay, as not to offend God, nor trespass, nor transgress His word. So in being made perfect, okay, He became, now we're in verse 9, He became the author. So I like the word author there in verse 9. Okay, He became the author, the oath and record, being the vow of God, Jesus being the vow of God, being the voice, the oath, and the word, which means His knowledge, the voice of the Lord. The voice has to do with that empowerment. The oath has to do with that blueprint, as the word has to do with that holy knowledge. Okay, we live by Christ. We live by the voice of the Lord, of the voice of His grace. We live by the oath of the Lord, okay, in regarding taking on His form and image and His likeness. And we live by the word of God regarding the knowledge which we are ingesting, as an ox chews the cud. Okay, so God selected a particular beast or beasts that chew the cud and divide the hoof, to teach us that those which chew the cud make distinction between good and evil. Okay, that which is holy and that which is unholy, that which is holy and that which is profane. Okay, those which chew the cud. Okay, and we chew the cud. That means we ingest the truth. Okay, so in being made perfect, as a record and pattern for our faith, possessing all the ingredients, He was the oath which we live by. He is the eternal oath, the author of eternal salvation. Now, the reason why He says the word eternal salvation, it has to do with the perfection and of a growth. We are sealed by the Spirit. Our salvation is sealed to us as we continue to uphold the terms of this covenant, the terms of this agreement, that we will serve Him all the days of our life, okay, in accordance to this covenant, the terms of this covenant, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All the words of the prophets hang on these things. You should love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength has to do with all your being, which is all your heart, okay, that which is full of faith, all your soul, all your being, okay, all your mind, which has to do with the study of doctrine, all your strength, which has to do with the proper sacrifices. Okay, you're utilizing the tools of this covenant, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. You're loving Him with these things. Now, when you're loving God with these things, you're not casting a shadow of reproach upon thy neighbor. But we're loving our neighbor. You love your neighbor by remaining within the restrictions of your growth. Okay, the assembly is to love thy neighbor. Remaining within the restrictions of your growth, there is no offense. And by remaining within those restrictions, you are pursuing peace. Okay, let's go on here. So being made perfect, He became the author. So highlight the word author there, because it's for He is giving to us these things in His record for a new eternal priesthood and for a perpetual work, as God also symbolized in the leaves of the tree of life. The leaves of the tree of life is for the healing of the nations. Our Father, viewing the leaves of this tree, okay, will be long-suffering with our progression as we continue to increase His house. God uses this sign to reflect upon and regarding His patience and long-suffering with us. Now, God gives us tokens as the leaves of the tree. Now, our Father views the leaves of the trees of life for our healing. How much more should we also view these tools and tokens which He's provided for us and be long-suffering one to another? Okay, and this is what Paul said. Okay, let us love one another as Christ also loved us. See, we are following that same divine pattern. Okay, we are in sympathy with Him, and we're walking as Jesus walked. So as we reflect upon these things, we are also long-suffering and looking for the healing of the saints. Okay, as we continue to mature into His likeness, okay, from an embryo within that egg into the image of its parent. So in being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. So highlight the word obey Him. Okay, that means all those that has to do with those that serve Him in the same manner. We don't find rest in the precept, but we serve in the same manner as finding rest in Him alone. We walk by faith, not by sight. Those that walk by sight, okay, are the carnal-minded. They are trying to serve God by contrition, and they're trying to bring resolve by promise. They're trying to bring resolve, okay, by also making vows unto God. But God, okay, does not take pleasure within a vow of a fool, because you cannot serve God with carnal things. You only can serve God with those things which He has sanctified for faith to serve Him with, which is Jesus Christ. So for this perpetualness to be manifested and for it to be eternal, we have to use the eternal things, those things of His fullness. So of His fullness have all received, and grace for grace, as the Apostle John said in the Gospel of John. We don't find rest in precept, whereas the carnal-minded are trying to build a confidence with God by promise. Okay, but our confidence is in God, okay, is by the things of the Spirit, which our faith works with and works through. The things of the Spirit, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. We are showing respect to Him and to the title, okay, which God has given to Him, Emmanuel, God with us, through this covenant. Okay, now let's look at verse 10 here. Okay, called of God. Now the word called of God, highlight the word called, which has to do with declared and consecrated. All of us, okay, coming into covenant with God, follow the due process or protocol. The protocol of the kingdom of God has to do with preparation, consecration, okay, and then of course with that, follows that comes your responsibility in your initiation of the priesthood. Okay, so we have the preparation, consecration, and initiation of your priesthood. We see that same pattern which Moses, okay, received of God and communicated to Aaron. Okay, Aaron and his sons being Levites. We are prepared of Him, called of God, declared and consecrated. Okay, our consecration comes through our commitment to build His kingdom with the things of Spirit, because we walk by faith. Our commitment to build with these things is a preparatory stage. And in this stage of maturing, we are able to discern good and evil. Okay, and maturing, as through this form of maturing, a discernment begins to develop from the anointing. Now, we're not talking about the discernment as the gift of discernment. We're talking about discernment and regarding from that foundation of truth within the heart to discern both good and evil. Okay, so here we see called of God and high priest. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek, a perpetual priesthood be founded through him. Because Melchizedek was born of Ner, being the brother of Noah, on the other side of the flood. That means prior, before the flood came. So that God will show a perpetualness of this image and also a perpetualness of the knowledge. Melchizedek brought back into this dimension the image and knowledge of that which is on the other side of the flood. Jesus Christ is doing the same thing today. He is bringing unto us the likeness of God in his perpetualness, okay, into this dimension from the other side of the flood. Because between us and the throne of God is an ocean of water. Okay, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The Lord sits upon the flood, as the psalmist said. Upon the other side of these waters, the waters of this dimension, is his throne of light. And that is our destiny. So the voice of the Lord carries that likeness and image across these waters into our dimension, so that he is forming within us and maturing us, that we could be received back to himself, bearing gifts and his likeness back into his bosom. Now Melchizedek, okay, is a sign of that, as he was also on the other side of the flood. And then when the floods of Noah came, with this deluge, it became a breach or a dissolution, a removing of a former belief system and tradition to establish and bring a renewal. A new beginning starts after a dissolution, and each week follows that same pattern, a dissolution and renewal. As the sixth week entered into the second eighth week, there is a removing of the yoke of those things of that former week, a dissolution, to begin anew as the third day, and we're in the third day now, because the eye of the Lord is present. This is the day of visitation, and the hour of temptation is upon the church, to choose to serve him and not to serve him. This is the charge which Joshua gave to the children of Israel, and which Jesus is charging the church today. Choose this day whom you will serve. And as Joshua said, don't serve the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, which they served in their ignorance under Pharaoh's oath. But now, being the sons of God, we are children of the oath of the Lord. Being stones of fire, we're building a new house by the Spirit. Okay, this is what we choose today. Not the traditions that are dead, but the traditions which are living, the traditions of renewal. The eye of the Lord is present to behold the condition of the heart. The voice of the Lord is sent forth. The conscience is being called forth now for accountability. Whom do you serve? Is the conscience going to bear the image of God, the likeness and history of his kingdom? Or is it still bear the image of death and Satan, and his destiny is hell? So God, here, called of God. Now, how do I like the word called there? A declaration and consecration, preparation, consecration, initiation. It's the pattern which we're falling, which we are following and falling into. Okay, which is good. Yet you're following this grooving of the Spirit. Okay, the tracks have already been laid because Jesus prayed. Okay, remember Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Okay, that prayer which he made was a blueprint for our faith. Okay, a blueprint for our faith. That was a prayer of consecration for us, for which his sweat was as great drops of blood. This was a seal, and an angel confirmed it, receiving from Jesus that cup which he drank out of, to be an eternal memorial regarding this transition from the breach to the bridge, from dissolution to renewal. A new beginning is going to be born, because this grain of corn or this seed is going to fall into the ground and die, and it's going to bring forth an offspring that is going to be even mightier and larger than its parent. Okay, so called of God a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, being perpetual. So we can see that Melchizedek, being a steward of the grace of God, brought unto us knowledge and tradition from the other side, to whereas there was a dissolution. And bringing this knowledge brought renewal and confirmation of the heritage which was coming through Abraham. Verse 11, now of whom we have many things to say. Now this is some of the things which I brought out earlier. There are many things, the types and shadows which are seen here, and have many things to say, and that is to expound in the deep mysteries. Okay, these are deep mysteries. Okay, and the Apostle Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians concerning these deep mysteries. And as he also wrote into the Ephesians and Colossians, the revelation of these mysteries, which is a benefit for your faith. It's a benefit to the church because it shows us which our hope is. And by this revelation, we stir up the hope within us. We lay hold upon these things. Our grip gets strong, okay, with tools of the covenant. Okay, but false knowledge weakens your faith. Okay, it weakens that grip. As Judas Iscariot, okay, and he went out and hung himself. Okay, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, okay, and hard to be uttered. Okay, uttered, which means to these mysteries. As to expound on these deep mysteries. Okay, seeing, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. That is, as this knowledge is too loud for your ears to hear right now. There's many more things Paul would expound upon. But he says at this point, okay, of his expounding, would be sufficient for this time. Because the Holy Ghost is bringing it further through this stewardship regarding Melchizedek and Abraham and regarding our responsibility to the covenant and regarding also our employable skills in the temple of the Lord, that we don't go in the temple of the Lord naked and without understanding to function at the altar. You have to know what the purpose of the altar is. You're not entering into the tabernacle of God as a tourist. You're entering the tabernacle of God and at the altar as a functioning priesthood. Okay, now verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now what's interesting right here is that the Apostle Paul could have easily at this time put, the Holy Ghost would then teach every one of you. Now this is again, the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is because there are many in the church today that feel that the Holy Ghost is going to teach them truth apart from stewardship. And that won't happen. It hasn't happened and won't happen. Okay, now, this right here proves, okay, that what Jesus said to the apostles is true. That the Holy Ghost will teach you. And he will show you things to come. Okay, and regarding unfolding this mystery as a flower opens up itself to reveal all its beauty. Okay, the flower opens up to release its nectar. And it opens up to also release the power of its aroma. As Jesus is speaking to the apostles, the Holy Ghost, the things which I have spoken to you apostles, the Holy Ghost is going to open your understanding to release this nectar so that it be profitable in those which feed on it. And upon feeding it, and they're going to bring forth the things of my kingdom as the bee brings forth honey out of the honeycomb. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, as able to instruct others, you have need, as now, that one teach you again. That is, as to be refreshed in this holy knowledge, the holy knowledge of the covenant and his priesthood. Okay, the covenant through Abraham, the priesthood, and Melchizedek. Okay, that you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. So highlight the word principles there if you have your highlighter. Okay, which has to do with the elements of our faith. The first principles is the elements of our faith, the foundation, okay, of all this knowledge. If you don't understand the elements of the altar, then even your sacrifices will still carry the smell of the world in them. And you don't want that. You don't want your sacrifices to carry the smell of the world. You want your sacrifice to ascend before God in the sweetness of faith. Okay, you have the sweet-smelling savior of your faith. See, mingled with the labor of your knowledge. Okay, so teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So these elements of our faith being put within the foundation of your heart, which the voice of the Lord draws from. That God empowers this knowledge for the purpose of which is called the anointing, empowers this knowledge to increase these powers within you. Now, if you want to increase, as the apostle said, grace be multiplied unto you. Now, when the apostles talked about grace be multiplied unto you, they weren't just saying something of the precept. They just weren't saying an empty hello, okay, or just out of root of scripture, out of scripture. Okay, but what they were saying is that when they say grace and peace be multiplied unto you, he's talking about as you continue on steadfast within your priesthood, God will continue to issue powers. All right, he will give you powers like a wage of your labor is with these powers. So when the eye of the Lord is present, beholds faith within the heart, he contributes to that. Okay, by giving you the wage of your reward of your labor, he gives you another power. With this power comes experience. Okay, and with this experience, your hope is made bright. Okay, as we see in also in the book of Romans there. Tribulation works patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Okay, Romans chapter 5. Now, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, that which the voice of the Lord initiates. As we also see in the book of Psalms, as concerning the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds the calf and discovers forests. Okay, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord initiates from a dimension of the invisible into the dimension of the physical and visible. From the invisible to the visible. From that which is not perceived by the eye or perceived by the flesh is made manifest by the voice of the Lord. This is an impact of the grace upon the soul. And your soul receiving these things, okay, continues to be enlarged by these powers. So we're talking about my heart is enlarged. We're talking about the presence of these powers, okay, through your endurance, okay, as you're overcoming the contrariness. You're overcoming Satan. You're overcoming the world. You're overcoming yourself, okay, as the Apostle John brings out in his epistle. It's through this overcoming that these powers continue to assist you. We're strengthened with all might. Okay, so by these powers, the Lord is sustaining you. He's sustaining your faith so that your will not grow weak and your soul won't go into corruption, but to remain strong behind the plow, laboring, increasing his house. So in verse 12 again, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Notice the word you have need that one teach you. He didn't say that the Holy Ghost is going to give you so-called extra revelations that are floating around out there. Okay, that's what the false religious system does. They are straining the ears to receive revelation in order for them to try to gain encouragement in regarding the existence of God. But that which God gives to us goes way beyond that. It is very deep, okay, in regarding the perception of the house of Bel. The house of Bel only views God in resolving other issues. Okay, but the house of God, which house we're in, okay, every engagement of God is for the purpose of fellowship. So that shows that those things which God has provided for us is far superior and wholesome and pure, being free from the flesh. Okay, as we count anything, okay, we don't want the flesh to be mingled with anything in regarding our faith. Okay, for when a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk. So highlight the word milk there in verse 12, being elementary knowledge. Okay, the elementary knowledge. You need to get right back and understand what is grace. Grace, faith, righteousness, the seal, okay, truth and charity, peace and rest. Okay, righteousness, justification, holiness, sanctification. Okay, all these elements are necessary. You have to understand these things so that when you're building your altar, you will not be putting the marks of your ignorance upon those stones, okay, which would make them unclean. Okay, you only are allowed to build an altar of whole stones, and every stone, okay, must remain in its fullness, wholesomeness. Okay, and are become such as if need of milk, the elementary knowledge, and not a strong meat, the understanding and the unfolding of these mysteries, okay, which has to do with his bosom. We're laying in the bosom of our Father as you have strong meat. Now we can see this in regarding of how the Apostle John also was laying on Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper. Remember that? Okay, and many people envision themselves as being in that position. But without the understanding of these mysteries, your ignorance disallows you that closeness. Ignorance disallows you the closeness. It's like in any relationship. Ignorance disallows you. Ignorance is a barrier in a relationship. But God has provided tools to remove those barriers and to lead us into a fellowship, which will be very fruitful and fulfilling as we're using these tools, the treasures he's provided for us, all these tokens. Sanctified tokens. Well, let's go on to verse 13 here. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Okay, I brought that out earlier. Okay, he doesn't have employable skills yet. Okay, he's just learning how to use a ruler and how to read a ruler. Okay, or how to use a hammer when children that which are, okay, 3 or 4 or 5 years old, okay, we give them like plastic hammers and, you know, and toy nails, something that you will buy at Toys R Us, okay, you would give to them, which be safe for them to begin to become familiar with, okay, and what to do with the tool. Well, that's the same thing in the kingdom of God. There's many people that are pursuing the deep things of God, and yet they're not even capable of holding their breath yet, besides diving deep into the water. You're going to drown. So before you decide to try to dive hundreds of feet into the water, you have to learn to be skillful, see, with the gear that would provide you that capability, scuba diving gear, okay? You have to be skillful with that. You have to learn the steps, you know, as concerning the buddy system, the breathing techniques, and also how to properly fill the tanks, okay? All these things are necessary. These are employable skills. But many young Christians coming into covenant, okay, want to dive real deep, okay, in those things without being properly prepared, and they could drown. So when he says here about using milk, he's talking about the Toys R Us level of skill. But strong meek is those that are able to hit the nail straight, okay, the first time. Okay, hitting the nail straight and also able to put it on the angle that's necessary in order to fasten it to the other piece of wood. Okay, so let's go on here in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Interesting, he says the word of righteousness here, which has to do with the knowledge by which we honor God with. The knowledge which we use to honor God with. We're not honoring God out of our passion. We're honoring God out of Christ. If you try to honor God out of your passion, well, you know, what you see in the house of Baal, okay, they cover the altar with their tears. The reason why they're covering the altar with their tears is because they have nothing else to offer unto God. But when you approach the altar with great confidence, having received the knowledge and the employable skills, craftsmanship, then you're approaching the altar with confidence, see? Okay, and here, the Lord receives your sacrifices. So everyone that uses milk is unskillful. He even wanders about the courts of the God. He wanders around like he's a tourist. Okay, but you can't wander into the courts of God you can't even be there without his permission. When you read the book of Esther, you see that no one is allowed in the presence of the king unless the king holds out the golden scepter. If anyone tries to approach the king without him honoring your presence, okay, or holding out the golden scepter, you would be immediately taken aside and killed. How much more in the presence of a holy God? People that have tried to intrude into God's presence just out of passion and anger, or even out of goodwill. But without the proper sacrifice, you would be considered as a transgressor. You're overstepping these bounds. You're trying to change the rules of the court by your person. And that would be an offense to God, that you're affronting God with that childish behavior. So everyone that uses milk, underline the word use there also, because you're utilizing knowledge. Okay, but you're not skillful yet to enter into full employment. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now this is what Paul says, for he is a babe. And many of these Christians, okay, at this point, after years and years and years being instructed by the Apostle Paul, okay, are still unskillful. Now, he called them unskillful. Now he wasn't using this as a point of insult. He was using this as concerning helping them understand their responsibility. Because also, he that is a babe is also doubtful concerning the source of information. They're doubtful concerning the source of information. Whether the information they're receiving to build the altar of God with is truly of the Lord, or is this information they're receiving of a different source, a seducing spirit. Now, we're identifying the unskilled here. They never matured from playing with the toys. They were too distracted playing with other things. Okay, watching cartoons. Watching cartoons doesn't really provide an individual, okay, with employable skills. That is, you know, like chasing a rabbit around in a rocket, on a rocket gun or something. Okay, that's not quite employable skills. Now, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word righteousness, for he is a babe. You can't honor God out of your passion. You honor God out of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe that he is. Well, where is God's presence that you're approaching? In the seventh heaven, into the courts of Christ. Okay, and he that comes to God must believe that he is. The word believing there has to do with that we are identifying, we're acknowledging, molding with, and submitting to according to the terms he set for us in this covenant. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that use these things, okay? That diligently search him, that search for him. Those which come in the presence have many treasures to offer him, and God takes delight in that. So here he says in verse 13 again, okay, as you get your sacrifices prepared here, because those which are weak with the tools are not really understanding the terms of the blueprint. Okay, the blueprint which God has provided for us has to do with your prayers of consecration. Your prayers of the blueprint, preparatory stage of track laying, so that your joy will be full when that train comes chugging down the track. Okay, when that train comes chugging down the track, your joy is full. And this is what Jesus was teaching his apostles. Okay, that my joy will be fulfilled in them. Jesus was charging his apostles there before he went to the cross. Now, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But, he says in verse 14, but strong meat, now we talk about strong meat, we're talking about these powers of this knowledge. But strong meat belongs to those that are full to age. So here, the Apostle Paul is giving eyes of discernment. But the eyes of discernment, again, come from that foundation of truth which is being laid within the heart. The tracks which are being laid there. But strong meat belongs to them their full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So let's look at that in verse 14. Okay, those that chew the cud and weaned from their insecurities of ignorance, these are those which are functioning at the altar with all confidence, and also able to weigh those things which are wholesome. Okay, those things which are wholesome and those things which are also lacking. Okay, it's like, okay, those that should taste wine. Okay, a wine taster can tell you its age, and also its location, because the wine also takes on the taste of the soil that it's been planted in. So you can see its location and its age. And so we are as spiritual connoisseurs. You're able to taste the sacrifice. You're able to taste the grace of God in each sacrifice, knowing of what soil it sprang from. Hey, whether it be good or evil, does the taste of the grape possess too much sourness? Is it too alkaline, or the lack of it? So your sacrifices, what you offer, have a taste in it. And the Spirit of the Lord dines on these things. You don't want to see a sour look come on the face of the Spirit when he takes a drink or a sip of your wine. You don't want to see him spitting it out saying, this hasn't been aged properly. Or the soil which this vine was grown in does not have the ingredients that are necessary to bring this into the label that is on it. The label that's on it has to be Christ, okay, not yourself. You can't put a picture on yourself on that label in the bottle. Okay, the only picture that's supposed to be on that bottle is Jesus himself. This wine is of the wine of heaven. Even the Lord, okay, as he partakes of this wine, rejoices. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Okay, knowing that we have been weaned from the insecurities of that ignorance. And Jesus even said to the children of Israel, okay, if they had known that day, the day of visitation is now, he is here. Okay, and regarding the church and its preparation and separation, the wheat from the tares. Okay, those which are tares are being bundled right now. They're being bundled in the house of Baal to be burned. But the wheat, he is preparing them now for the internal inheritance, okay, and we gathered into his barn, okay, for the next stage. We're being gathered into the barn for the next stage. Okay, but strong meat belongs to them, their full age, even those who by reason of use, those which function at the altar, have their senses exercised. And highlight the word senses right there. The word exercise also had to do, senses exercise has to do with your experience. As you continue to experience the grace of God, as you drink fully of him, and as his grace and peace is being multiplied into you, then you're able, at this point, able to weigh, see, as the taste bud, you're able to weigh the good and the evil, the good from the evil, that which is holy, that which is wholesome, that which contains the taste of a good wine, from the evil. As Jesus said, new wine must be put in new wine skins. If you put new wine in old wineskins, it will burst its container. The knowledge of God's kingdom cannot be put within the traditions of Baal. The knowledge of God's kingdom must be put in new wines, in new wineskins, which is your soul, which are able to expand and grow upon its fermentation. So allow the knowledge of God to ferment within you. Okay, so that when the Spirit tastes you, okay, he's not going to have a sour look on his face, but a smile, saying that this right here is of the highest quality, well aged, and being squeezed within a cup, the king will take delight in it. As also the butler, okay, squeezed the grapes in the Pharaoh's cup and gave it to him. But the baker did not follow due process, and falling short of that procedure, lost his head. He lost his head. Without the headship of Christ, the church wanders in its ignorance. But with the headship of Christ, okay, we can see that we can keep our minds focused as concerning the direction which the Spirit is taking us. So lastly here, okay, as we wind up, strong meat belongs to them that are full age. So those that are coming to full maturity, okay, as the grape of the vine, or as the aging of the wine in the wine cellar. Okay, a full age, even those who by reason of use, so I like the word again, reason of use. The reason has to do with the weighing of these things. Okay, and the experience that you have with them. Okay, Christianity is not a precept. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's the same thing. Okay, what would you prefer if you go to a restaurant? You don't go to a restaurant just to read the menu. You go to the restaurant to eat. And those which come to Christ must be hungering and thirsting after righteousness to eat at the altar. If they're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, they'll muse over the menu and argue over its prices. Okay, that's what the House of Bel teaches. In the House of Bel, they teach you to argue with the menu. In the House of Christ, we eat at the table. Okay, we eat and we are full. And at that point, when you're full, your joy is full, and also the joy of the Lord is full. Okay, because when he sees that you're partaking of him and rejoicing, he also rejoices in you. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.